Turn to Psalm chapter 2. Psalm 2. We are finishing our study on Psalm 2 this morning. I think it's important to read the Psalms, read Proverbs, study your Bible, no doubt about it. We did look at the first several verses through Psalms, and it really, or through Psalm 2. And let me just go over that. You know, it talks about the kings and the rulers there in verse 2. Verse 3, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. Verse 4 talks about God, and it said, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. We went through all those verses. Now, in verse 8, he says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, that's a very famous quote. Most of you might be familiar with a rod of iron because Revelation talks about that rod of iron. When Jesus comes back, and it could be very soon, but before that is 7-year tribulation, before he comes back, he's going to come back and he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And that's what this is talking about here. But what I want to focus in on is verse 8. What does verse 8 start with? Ask of me. Ask of me, the Bible says. So turn to James chapter 4. Let's look at some things about prayer. And I remember this verse in particular, and it may sound silly to you. I was going to buy a basketball hoop for my son, you know, one that goes outside. And the guy wanted like $200. And I said, I wonder if he, I told my friend, my it was actually the deacon that I was with. I said, I wonder if he'll take $150. And he quotes the next verse that I'm gonna give you. Look at James 4, verse 2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. So he quoted that to me. He says, you have not because you ask not. So I looked at the guy with the basketball hoop and I said, hey, would you take 150? He says, you got it. And that verse has always stuck with me. You have not because you ask not. Now look. Having and asking isn't about things all the time. And we'll see that. Well, look at verse 3. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. So one of the things about asking is asking in the right sense. In other words, you need to ask according to the will of God. You need to always say, if it be thy will, Lord, when you ask. Now, I don't mean you need to be mechanical about it. What I mean is you need to be thinking that. You don't want anything outside the will of God. Okay? Now, I said that, but sometimes that's not true. Sometimes we'll ask and we'll say, Lord, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want, I want what I want, I want to go in the direction I want to go. And we sometimes forget that we really don't. And what God does is searches your heart for what your heart's intent is. And if your heart's intent is right, He'll fix your prayer. He'll fix your prayer to align it with what you should be asking and will answer it according to His will. I truly, you know, when I sit down and I think about it, it's even the house over here, you know, I've prayed about it. We're 1.5 years in the motorhome, you know, and you might say, well, boy, that took a long time, but you got to understand, you know, we got a builder over there that's working with us, and I'm able to interact with all the subs. I told him the other day, I said, you know, the back door, you're going to have to expand it because he misunderstood something. They had to rip the whole thing down and, you know, they're putting up a new header back there and expanding it to the right size doors. Because we went out and looked at doors and bought the doors. And the same, you know, she says, well, it gives me more light. And I said, well, it's the same price, the big one, the little one. And she says, I really want it. So we went over there and Dave was over there. And Dave, you know, we were looking at one door in the bedroom and it was in the wrong place. We changed it on the plans. It was supposed to be over here. So I went over and I told him, I said, you got to move that door. And he said, oh, no problem. I said, now I know this is a big deal, but you got to change that back door. I said, my wife really wants those bigger doors that are, and they cost us nothing extra. He says, no problem. Saw's off. I'll take it off. Done. So where we are is, listen, if I'd had my will, I would have built a year ago. I would have built a year ago, and I really wouldn't have worried about what my wife really wanted on those back doors. I'd have gone practical and said, look, it's a lot of trouble to take that whole thing down and to have to put a new header up there. And the header is 72 inches wide. So, you know, these are boards that are, you know, serious boards. You know, they're 12, they're 2x12, three of them put together. I mean, listen, I know what the problem is. They went over there and said, no problem. I came back, told my wife, I said, listen, you get your door. But that's how God works. In other words, don't push your will. Don't get in there and go, I'm going to have it my way. No, that's Burger King. You don't want Burger King for your lifestyle. You don't want, and I hope it's Burger King. Is it Burger King? Okay. It's been a long time since I've seen the TV. So, you know, it's probably not on there for the last 10 years. So I do date myself in those things sometimes. But he says, you have not because you ask not. The one thing I want you to remember when you leave here today are those words. You have not because you ask not. I mean, think about the things that you have done in your life that you didn't pray about. And remember, I said things that you've done. You say, well, I thought we're talking about stuff that we get. You have not. You have not. It's the stuff you have. No, peace is something you need to have. Joy is something you need to have. It's not the house over there, and I gave that as my example. But listen, that's not what we're talking about, and I'll prove it to you. Look at James chapter 1. I'll tell you, when I saw this morning, I was like, wow, what a perfect example to give you in James chapter 1, verse 5. You have not because you ask not. If any of you lack wisdom, you don't have it, right? What does he say? Let him ask of God. Boy, I tell you what, I wish when I was, you know, I got saved when I was 20 here in Niceville. That was a long time ago, 4 decades, you know, ago. I got saved here 4 decades. I wish when I was a 12-year-old, I could have known this verse. I wish I was saved at a very young age. I was not, although 20 does seem like a very young age at this point. I wish I'd have gotten saved when I was a kid, and I knew this verse, and it says, if any of you lack wisdom, well, there's one thing I lacked of all the other things in my life. It was wisdom. And he said, ask for it. Ask for it. Why don't people have wisdom? You have not because you ask not, because if you'll ask for wisdom, look at what the Bible says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He will not rebuke you for asking for wisdom. And the one thing that we need more than anything else that you can imagine is wisdom. Wisdom. You want to know what to do in life? You want to know how to get through the nightly newscast that some of you watch? You need wisdom. You need to figure, listen, I study people. Like, you know, sometimes I'll tell my wife, you know, I like to be around different types of people because I watch them and I listen to them. And, you know, I even know people that have, you know, even over here that really haven't done what they're supposed to do. And I know it. And I watch them and I see how they speak and what they say. And it just gives me better insight, better wisdom on who and what people are and how they react and how they behave and how do you help people? You know, I get people that call me all the time and they're seeking out help because, you know, I'm out there. You know, YouTube, you can find me and, you know, and my phone number's out there. And, you know, last night my phone rang. We were at the fellowship and some of you say, why do you take the call? Because I don't screen my calls. If I screen my calls, I wouldn't take 1 out of 10 calls that I take. If I screen my calls, I take almost every call because it's important to them. And listen, sometimes it's stressful. Sometimes it stretches me thin, but then other times I've seen the end result and gone, wow, Lord, you're so gracious to me to be able to help somebody that I don't even know. I'm not going to ever get anything out of it. And by the way, you know, that is one of the things about Christianity. We're supposed to help people with nothing in return. That's not the world. The world is, well, what's in it for me? What do I get out of it for doing this for you? What am I going to get out of it? Sometimes we got to look at it and say, hey, it's not about us. It's all about God. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. And what does He say? He giveth it liberally. Good time to be liberal. Not so much today, but it's a good time to be liberal. You know, liberal in the Bible is not a negative connotation. Gay in the Bible is not a negative connotation. Rainbows are good in the Bible. But things have been hijacked. And you've got to realize you've got to have wisdom. How do I deal with that? How do I say the right thing? How do I interact with people and make sure that, you know, I don't come across as being hateful or ugly or vindictive or, you know, there's so much going on. Everybody wears their feelings on their sleeve and their chip on their shoulder and says, hey, try to knock it off. You know, we got to have wisdom on how to deal with people. Look at John. Let's do this. I was going to go to John 4. Let's look at. Hold your place here. We'll come back to James. Go to John 4. I need to do it the order that I decided this morning. We're going to come back to James 4 here in a minute. And so, John chapter 4. I believe this is the woman at the well. And I just want to give you one verse in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, if I asked you, do you know Jesus? Every one of you that's saved would say, yes, I know Jesus. But do you know Jesus? You see, knowing Him here and knowing Him here and knowing Him throughout who and what you are is different. They're not the same. You can't say, I know Jesus, and then treat Him like a stranger. You can't say, I know Jesus, and you don't talk with Him. You need to talk with Him. You need to fellowship with Him. You need to have a relationship with Him like no other relationship on the earth. It needs to be personal. It needs to be private. It needs to be public. It needs to be the right type of relationship. If you don't have that relationship, that's what He wants. You have not because you ask not. Why not ask Him to have a better relationship? Why not get alone with Him and say, Lord, I need to draw closer to You. I don't understand Your Bible like I should. I don't feel like I'm, let me use this word, intimate with You. You know, God wants us to have an intimate relationship with His Son. He wants us to know Him and love Him and live for Him. And He wants us to be an everyday thing. Everyday thing. When I go out as chairman of the ambassadors for the Chamber of Commerce, they call me Pastor Doug. They said, what do we call you? You know, it was like, you know, doctor, this doctor. And I said, just call me Doug. Well, now they all call me Pastor Doug. So when I'm introduced, they say, Pastor Doug, Pastor Doug, Pastor Doug. Listen, that's good. Because automatically I am associated with who and what I am and who and what defined my life. I am defined by Jesus Christ. There's, you know how they, like time. A.D. and B.C. What's B.C.? Before Christ. A.D. is not after death. Anno Domini in the year of our Lord. So Jesus split time when he was born. He split time for me when I was born again. That's the coolest thing. I mean, I tell people this, and you can do the same thing, and you should do the same thing. I got saved 40 years ago. That event defined me. Now, I didn't live for him for 3 years. I mean, I lived for him. Then I got away from him for a period of 3 years. It doesn't mean I still wasn't defined by what happened on July 6, 1980. I'm defined by that event that took place here in Niceville, Florida, 40 years ago when I accepted him as my Savior. That doesn't mean I never, ever, ever got away from him, because I did. But that defined me. That is how you need to look at life. That is how you need to look at relationship. That is how you need to look at intimacy. And if your intimacy with Him isn't right, it's because you're not looking at the definition of who and what a Christian is. I'm defined by salvation. I'm defined by a point in time in my life. I was lost and undone. I got saved, and time is split. There's B.C., before Christ. And now I live in A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. That's how our life is supposed to be, and that's how time defines it. Now, go back to James 4. So, if this woman knew who she was talking about in John, he said to her, "Thou wouldest have asked of Him." In other words, if you really knew Jesus, you would talk to Him and ask Him about those things. Look at James 4. And I know I've gone over this verse several times, and I'm going to do it again. Verse 13. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that," because life is so short, "you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Because life is short. Everybody in here ought to get a teapot. I don't even know if you have those anymore. Maybe you have a hot spot. Or maybe you have a big old coffee. You know, you got to put some water in there today and make sure it gets some vapor. And look at that vapor and watch that vapor come up. Best if you do it with a teapot. Man, especially if you got one of them that whistles. How many have a whistling teapot? That's a kettle. Yes, it's a kettle. Every now and then I have to learn English again because I speak American. But you have one that whistles? Good. Do you have one that whistles? No, it's a kettle though. I got that. I won't go any further. I got you. I can get myself in deep trouble with Barbara if you don't, because listen, tea is important. I got to make sure I don't get the soap out. I'm going to have me some British blend. I don't say that well. Sorry, that's why you're laughing. Judy, I need to make sure I take this with us today. I have crud in the morning. Judy said this morning she's going to give me some honey. I said, "Well, thank you, honey." Yeah, you can't even kiss during COVID, so, you know. Oh. We started again, got about 2 days in, and then I got crud in the morning. We're back to the cheek again, so. It isn't that we don't love each other. If you see us, you probably won't see us anyway. We're in the motorhome most of the time. Let me go back to Psalm chapter 2. So, yeah, do I look red? Am I red? Yeah. A little bit. Okay, it's not the epitome of red like it can be.
Look at that shit sash on the cross.
There you go. I don't know why. I mean, come on. It is what it is. You know, the Bible does say in the last days, people won't be able to blush anymore. What a shame. I told that to Gary the other day. Gary said something, and he says, "Man, I didn't mean that." And I said, "I didn't hear what you said, so I missed it." And so he blushed. And I said, "You know what, Gary?" I said, "That's a good thing, because you're like me." No, that's a good thing because you know, we don't even blush anymore, because our society has deadened us to the reality of right and wrong, good and bad, and whether some things aren't always appropriate. I mean, now anything goes. I mean, television has taught us, look, you can say whatever you want to say in a public company. Let me tell you something. I go to a football game, and I'm sitting there, and if I'm with my wife, or I'm with my mom, or even with Doc, I have done it at least every football, you don't want to take me to a football game. I'll turn around and say, "Would you watch your mouth?" Or I'll say, "This is my mom, and I don't want her to hear you taking my Lord's name in vain." And I'll tell you what, around you it just goes silent. But I tell you what, you never hear it again after that. They don't need to be saying GD to about the coach and about a call and about the ref. And listen, I paid to get in that game too. Anyway, that is running my rabbit trail. In Psalm 2, verse 8, he says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Look at Zechariah chapter 14. Next to last book, Zechariah, Malachi. So it's the next to last book in the Old Testament. I want you to look at this because I want you to see what the future holds. The devil knows this. When Satan is cast out to earth at the midpoint of the 7 years, the Bible says he's going to go in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God, showing himself that he's God, which I love the wording of the Bible. It doesn't mean he's showing himself. You know, in other words, I'm God. Listen, you know what each one of us needs to be shown sometimes? But we are. In other words, you're saying it right. We're not. We need to show, God needs to show us that sometimes we think we are. That's what's happening with Satan at the midpoint. Abomination, desolation, showing himself that he's God. And the Bible says all the world's going to wonder and worship the beast and so on and so forth. But the Bible says this, he knoweth he hath but a short time. He knows the Bible. He knows the Bible better than you know the Bible. Hopefully the difference is he doesn't accept the Bible and you do. That's the difference. The difference isn't the devil doesn't know. He knows. He's the wisest of all creatures. The problem is his pride gets him to think that he can overcome God. Zechariah 14, look at verse 9. "And the Lord shall be," future prophecy, "King over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one." Boy, I can't wait. I mean, we live in perilous times. "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." Well, what a description of today. But one day, Jesus is going to be king over all the earth. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Remember it mentioned that rod of iron? In Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, the Bible says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." You see, one day, whenever Jesus becomes king, he will be King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he will rule this earth for 1,000 years, called the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. What a tremendous time that will be. the 1,000-year reign of Christ. I want you to turn to Revelation 11. Remember, I've told you that Revelation repeats itself at least four times. So in Revelation 19, you'll read about Jesus Christ coming back to earth to set up His kingdom. But in Revelation 11, look at what you read in verse 14. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, look at what they're saying, the kingdoms of this world, plural, are become the kingdoms of our Lord. Now, it's one kingdom, but those kingdoms are now His kingdoms under one kingdom. And of His Christ, He shall reign forever and ever. Well, that's Revelation 11. How does that work? Because Revelation repeats itself four times. So when you're looking at Revelation 11, you can match it with Revelation 19, which is where I want you to go now. The reason I want you to look at Revelation 19 is because Revelation 19 shows when heaven is open and Jesus comes back and He sets His foot on the earth. It's called the second coming. It's different from the rapture. The rapture, He comes back in the clouds. The believers are caught up to meet Him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That happens 7 years before the second coming. It looks like I'm freezing a few of you out. I'm sorry. I was burning up here. Okay. One day we will get this set up like it can be set up. And we'll control it with a phone. And y'all see a couple of you out there with your phones. I got control today. But Revelation chapter 19 talks about that second coming. Look at verse 11. Saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. And He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And His name is called The Word of God. That's why we're Bible believers around here, because if you don't have God's Word and you can't trust God's Word, you got nothing. I'm only as good as my Word. God is only as holy as His Word. And His Word is holy. Verse 14. And the armies, by the way, that's us. And the armies, where are they coming from? Which were in heaven, followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth on the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not coming back as a lamb again. He's coming back like it shows right here in the Bible. He's going to send His angels out according to Matthew 24. They're going to gather the elect, the saved, and they're going to be protected from this wrath that's going to be poured out upon the earth. And He's going to destroy everybody else, those that have made it, endured to the end, they say, Matthew 24. We'll go in the millennium and they'll repopulate the earth. But He's going to rule during that time. Jesus wins. You watch the news, you say, well, oh, everything's out of control. Nope. This country deserves to be judged. How many of you want it judged? Narrow one of us, really. See, that's what I'm talking about today. That's what I'm talking about. None of us wants the judgment of God upon this because, listen, we sort of like what we got. We like the freedoms that are slipping away. We like to be able to come to church. Paul Chapel out in Lancaster, they're finding him every day he meets. That's their pastor. We have a governor that said we're essential. That's the difference between a saved governor and a lost man. That's the difference between somebody that looks at power and rights and says those rights are God-given here. And I'll tell you what your rights are. Your rights are what we say they are. You can pack into an airplane next to each other, but you can't sit on a pew because we tell you how to worship. When to open. How many you can have in there. No. Verse 4 of Psalm 2 says, God shall have them in derision. They think they're in control. They are not in control. And don't think this is out of control either. All you see is the fulfillment of prophecy. Keep looking up. Keep your eyes on the sky. Keep looking for Jesus. And keep doing what you're supposed to be doing down here. Pray. If you don't have peace about what's going on, you have not because you... That's it. I don't want to give you anything else. I don't want to give you any false hope. I don't want to give you any false answer. All I want to tell you is you have not because you ask not. If you are missing something in your life, and I don't mean a Cadillac. I don't mean a BMW. I don't even mean a new house. What I mean is peace, joy, contentment, all those things that are 10 million times more important than the things. Now, let me say this about the things. God gives us all things to enjoy. It's okay to have a nice car if you can afford a nice car, so as long as you're not paying on it for the next 25 years. Don't spend your future now. That's what I advise people. Stay as debt-free as you can get. Do you remember in Matthew 4, whenever the temptation took place? What was one of the temptations? He took him out and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give all this to you. So he was telling Jesus to sin and forego the sacrifice. That was one of the reasons why I wanted that god-awful singing of a song that I was going to play for you tonight. I just got to figure out how to get higher volume so I can hear it actually what the... Because all I can hear sometimes is the people's voices, and they sounded good. I mean, it was a good... No, you didn't hear it yet. I sometimes skip the beginning, too. I sort of get in the middle and hit it and go, okay, I can hear it. Relax. I've only failed you twice on the songs so far. There will be more and there will be other times. Looking at this, and here's what we're going to close on. I want you to continue to have hope. Never, ever, ever lose hope. God wins. That's it. That's it. And you have not because... So ask. Especially in the context of James, where he says, ask for wisdom. Think about it. He's not going to upbraid you. He's not going to rebuke you. He's going to give it liberally to all those that ask. Then why don't we ask for it every day? Because you may know Him, but you need to know Him. You get that intimate relationship and you will ask Him. And He will give you wisdom. And then when you're walking through life and somebody comes up to you and they start talking to you, you may have an answer that they're seeking and you can give it to them. And you won't even know where it comes from. I'm in awe at my interactions sometimes because I don't plan them. I don't force them. I don't manipulate them. I sort of just pray them into existence. I went out there to that ribbon cutting This is the biggest ribbon cutting we've done. Three chambers there. I walked over to one. I said, well, do you want to speak? Oh, no, I don't ever speak. I usually take the pictures. It's okay. So I went to the lady that's running the thing. I said, look, you need to get up. You need to do this. She says, well, let me get my computer. She writes out what she's going to say, writes it all out. And I said, you introduce me, and then I'll do my thing, and I'll introduce Jay, and then da-da-da-da-da. And boy, they looked, they offered me a job. You know, because we talked. I'm a retired CPA, and I used to work at Marriott Hotels in Atlanta, Georgia, the Marquis. And he says, do you do any consulting? I said, only when I'm forced to. Meaning when a friend asks me, and I end up, you know, running his business from 2009 to half of 2010. And I told him that story. I said, so no, I don't do it. I said, I love it. I miss it. I love managing people. I love motivating people. I said, that's what I live for. I said, but I don't. And he still asked for my, I didn't have any more cards left because I'd given them all out. And I said, you know, here's my number. I said, if you ask me for something about that big, I can help you. I said, once you start getting any bigger than that, I cannot help you. I don't have the time. I don't have the inclination. I love it, but I can't do it. But, you know, in other words, they went over there. They weren't even prepared for this ribbon cutting, and I just took over. It was fun. I enjoy it. I love it. By the way, I'm coming to the end of my reign. I will no longer be chairman in January, so but I'll still go to them and I'll still be interactive. Listen, we have very few outreach right now. I absolutely think that, you know, listen, people know where Faith Independent Baptist Church is now. When they introduced me the first three times, you know what they said? First Baptist Church. First three times I was introduced. At the city council meeting, at the school board, and at the chamber, all three. And the funny thing was, when they introduced me at the chamber, when I first joined, they said, this is Pastor Doug Stauffer from First Independent Baptist Church, and the pastor, I mean, First Baptist Church, the pastor was there from First Baptist. We got to know each other pretty well there. Hey, why don't you have it? Because you ask not. Ask. Ask God. He implores you to do that. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, you thank you for your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct us. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be servants of thee. Help us, Lord, to ask and to realize the reason that we have not is because we ask not. Let us go from here with that one thought in mind, that you are a life-changing God, that you divide time. There's pre-salvation before Christ, and then there's being born again. I thank you for that. I thank you for changing my life, saving my soul, and giving me all the blessings that I could even not even imagine that were available. And I thank you in Jesus' name. With your head bowed and eyes closed, if God's spoken to you in some way, the altar is open. You can stay where you are and you can pray and ask God to give you the things that are missing in your life, whether it be peace or joy or contentment or that relationship. Have you lost your relationship? He dearly wants you to have that relationship restored.